Well, I was first introduced to them a few years back. My son sat down and said, I want to watch a show. It was early morning, and we're just flipping through Netflix trying to find something to watch, and he saw it. Like, hey, that looks good. I want to try that out. Well, I didn't really think anything of it at the time, but, you know, a bunch of dogs and a kid. Okay, whatever. It's another kid's show. But I started getting into it, and like most parents, you know, it's a show that really doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense. And a lot of things about it still to this day don't make sense to me, but you have to remember the mind of a child is much different than adults. They see a problem, they want to fix it. They don't see a problem and understand how the world works, and, you know, you got to get permits and all kinds of other things to save it or do it. They see the problem, and they want to solve it. Well, the kid in this show seems to be a great inventor, creating amazing things. But with him are talking dogs, pups. And they cruise around in machines that he has built. I started wondering to myself, like, okay, this is interesting. This is kind of cool. This is automotive related for me. And as I watched it more and more, I started realizing there's a lot to my industry in this show. Paw Patrol became an amazing show in my life. And for a few years, my kids loved it. Today, we don't watch it. But that's a different part. Today, I still look at this show as a breakthrough for the automotive industry and children, similar to that of Speed Racer. Paw Patrol is not only leading the way, it's leading the way for the future of the automotive industry. And today, Autolux is going to take a look at Paw Patrol. Welcome back to the Autolux Podcast. I am your host, as always, the doctor to the automotive industry, Mr. Everett J. himself. Coming to you from our main host website at autolux.net. If you haven't been there, stop by, check it out, read some of the reviews, check out some of the ratings, and hell, for your children listening to this podcast, go and read some of our children's books. You can learn about the automobile industry and some of the great things and great countries that automobile companies and products come from, all on the autolux.net website. The Autolux Podcast is brought to you by Ecom Entertainment Group and distributed by Podbeam.com. And if you'd like to get in touch with the Autolux Podcast, please send an email over to email@autolux.net. So like I said in the intro, Paw Patrol is an amazing children's show. And until just recently, I didn't realize that this show actually comes from my home country of Canada. Yes, Paw Patrol is created by Spin Master. Spin Master is a Canadian toy division. Kind of cool, because I always thought, you know, like Hasbro and Mattel and all them were like the biggest toy companies out there. Not realizing that Spin Master actually comes from Toronto, Ontario. And Paw Patrol is made right here in my home country of Canada. So, you know, a little kudos to Canada for Paw Patrol. But getting back into this Paw Patrol. It's about an ingenious kid who makes these great and amazing inventions to save or protect his hometown. And he uses his sophisticated and intelligent dogs, or pups in this can, to help him solve all of these issues. Whether it be rocks that fell in a railroad track, a stranded surfer, or a volcano on a completely different island where they're researching and they need to unlock information. Paw Patrol is there. And they're not just doing it in a main sense. They're not just, you know, like every other kid show, going out and solving a problem. They're solving a problem by using tools and machines. Well, as we all know, in the automobile industry, tools are what helps us build the machines for the future. But Ryder, this amazing inventor, comes up with all these great new ways of getting products around and helping the people. Adventure Bay develops all of these great things to help people in and around his community, whether it be construction, emergency services, water help. Hell, he even has a submersible and a garbage truck, which teaches you the valuable lesson of reduce, reuse, and recycle. These are great and amazing products, but they're all done in an automotive theme. First, you have Chase in a police vehicle, then Marshall in a fire truck, slash ambulance. You get Zuma in a submarine, which can also be utilized as a hovercraft for boats. Then you get Rusty in the garbage truck slash recycling truck. Then you get Sky in the helicopter, Everest in the snowcat, Tracker in his mobile command unit for the jungle, and my personal favorite, the guy who does it all, and the guy that actually has his own show now, Rubble, with his loader, excavator, bulldozer. On top of this, Ryder has also created a transport, helicopter slash airplane, and a boat. On top of this, Ryder utilizes his own vehicle, which is essentially modeled after something that pre-exists, his quad that can turn into a boat. Yes, it has it all, and it creates transportation in so many different levels, from 4x4 course, all-terrain vehicles, to hot air balloons, helicopters, airplanes, jetpacks, motorcycles, race cars. Paw Patrol has it all. So what does this mean for the automotive industry? Well, for all of us, this always means something great. Why? Because, like the movie Cars, it brings awareness to the products and features that we all love. How many kids have gotten more into the automotive industry thanks to shows like Paw Patrol? When I was a child, Speed Racer was a big thing. Hell, Speed Racer's a lot older than me, but I remember watching an updated 1980s version of Speed Racer, and it got me into cars. Well, that and the Time Machine from Back to the Future, okay? Like that's my all-time automotive-themed movie that got me into it. That's probably also the reason why my favorite number is 88. For all the kids out there listening to, 88 is my favorite number because it's the vehicle, the DeLorean, the Time Machine. It's got to get up to 88 miles per hour. But 88, when you flip it on its side, is also four sets of tires. Yeah. Everything inspires us and everything gets us into this industry. And by having shows like Paw Patrol, it not only creates a sense of urgency upon us as a growing mind and a child to go out and protect the world and find new ways to build and innovate, but also to the parents who question the show, like myself. Have you ever noticed when they go down that weird slide to come out into their vehicle, their doghouse is what essentially all their vehicles are. They transform, like one of the great shows from the 1980s, Transformers, they transform into their emergency response vehicles. Now, nearly every episode, Chase is always inclusive of it because God forbid you can do anything without a police presence involved at all, which you can. That's why Rubble has his own show now, because there are more construction contract cool things that you can do out there than you can do with an emergency response. Not getting into that one. Listen to some previous podcasts without your kids and you understand why. But when he lands in his emergency response vehicle, it closes and transforms from being a doghouse, essentially into his home, into his emergency response vehicle. But the sound that comes out of it is always questionable to every adult watching it. Where do they store the diesel engine? Because every single one of their vehicles has the same sound effects that come from a transport or semi, a big burly diesel engine. So where is that diesel engine located? It makes us wonder, because in all sense and in reality of today, we would consider a vehicle like this is plausible, but only on an electric powertrain. By utilizing a skateboard platform underneath of it, they could essentially create something from a doghouse into an emergency response vehicle. Because seriously, when the engine compartment area comes out, they stand on top of it. It literally just closes the doghouse part of the beginning off. But where is that engine? Are they literally on top of it? How does that keep their house clean? Like, questions upon questions. But that's what adults think. That's not what children see. Children see them slide down, go into their emergency response vehicle, and go off to the emergency at hand to go help and save the people at Adventure Bay. Whatever it may be, all of these vehicles have the same context. They are both a doghouse and a transportation unit. And Ryder is the inventor behind them. Ryder himself has his own transformational vehicle. His quad can go across both land and water. This is something we saw years ago from the Gibbs Technology Company, the quad ski. It's literally a quad that turns into a jet ski, similar to that of what Ryder is going around on. So it may not be something new, but it's something a little more innovation into a children's show. But why do they do this? Why do they have to transform? Well, like we saw when we were children with the Transformers show, we watched these vehicles turn into living things. Well, let's watch something that's a building turn into an emergency response vehicle. Paw Patrol gives us that sense of adventure and sense of wonder. When you're trying to shape minds for the future, you want to make them think while also being entertained. And children that start to question how these things operate and how to create them are not just the sheep of the world. They're the wolves of the future. They're the innovators, the inventors, and the scientists. They're the ones that are going to look at how Paw Patrol made all these amazing vehicles and try and figure out how to make them operate. And that's something we all want to do. There are companies out there that have managed to create transformational vehicles that could transform from a car into a robot. Unfortunately, even by today's standards, these robots still don't walk and move about like they would in the Transformers movies. But it has inspired people to go above and beyond to create something more innovative than what we have currently. Paw Patrol is shaping minds for the future. and it shows us what vehicles work best in each emergency situation. And like I said, Chase is out there quite often because, yes, you do need either a police presence, a security presence, and hell, he even works with a drone to find people out in the bush. Chase uses all of his abilities. He has his standard vehicle, and then he also has his search and rescue. Marshall handles fires with a fire truck and ambulance. It's a dual option vehicle. Zuma with the submarine / hovercraft. He can go underwater to save people or just save them from the water. Rusty with the garbage truck / recycling truck, which also doubles as a forklift. He can pick things up and move them around, but he can also take things, recycle them, and turn them into something else. He always has the right tool and always has the ability to help out when something needs to be built. Similar to that with rubble, with his bulldozer, excavator, hell, even a dump truck. He's got it all for the construction purposes. Ryder's created the transportation network with both a plane, transport, and boat. We need to get these small vehicles around the world, but we need to do it on a larger scale, similar to that of our ships, our car-carrying transports, and our cargo planes. Trains are one of the few areas that the Paw Patrol show really doesn't get into. They do have trains in it, but they tend to showcase more mobile objects. This is one of the parts of the show that I always find kind of questionable because trains are still a big part of our transportation network, with subways, freight trains, passenger trains, maglevs, high-speed trains, light rail transit systems, and hell, even streetcars. The rail services is one of those things that's not really showcased heavily in the Paw Patrol show, which is one of those things that actually needs to be showcased a lot more, especially to the young mind of the child. But you have to remember, trains are big, heavy transportation units. They're not a singular object, and they only go where their roads go. A boat can only go as far as the water will take you. A cargo transport can only go as far as the road or flat-scale land can go. But a police emergency response vehicle with four-wheel drive can go even that much further into the bush. And we're showcasing to kids about all the multitude of transportation available in the world. We're looking at products like four-wheel drives, airplanes, boats, even spacecraft. As Paw Patrol has covered nearly every angle of the transportation. But on top of this, they also cover every possible destination that you need to traverse. The desert, the Arctic, the jungle, under the ocean, on top of the ocean, lakes, grass, farms, mountains, rolling hills, beaver dams, and rivers. They showcase an entire globe in one small community of Adventure Bay. I get it, the movies have showcased a lot more to us since they fall into a city climate. They're trying to make a more realistic approach to the expanse of the Paw Patrol universe. And that is kind of good because it's now showcasing to these children that there is more outside of Adventure Bay and the world is bigger outside of your centrifuge bubble. We have first activated their interest into the transportation network of the world, how we can safely move, transport, deal with emergency situations, and traverse the globe in a multitude of different ways. It's expanded the minds of children and showcased to them a multitude of jobs in the transportation industry. It's not just showcasing to us a bunch of puppies going out and saving the day. Well, essentially every episode that does happen. But it's showcasing to us the transportation potentials of the world and how there are so many jobs available in the transportation of goods, services to people of the world. And it doesn't matter what you look like and who you are. Everybody lives in one specific place like Adventure Bay. But we do get it that after a few seasons, Paw Patrol had to expand outside of this and had to add in a villain to the scenario. And Mayor Humdinger from one town over became it. Eventually, his kitten Catastrophe became the alternative to the Paw Patrol. They utilized similar technology as the Paw Patrol to cause mayhem. But like we said, we can only showcase so much in the world that needs to be fixed or helped that we'll eventually get to a point that we have solved the issues at hand and somebody else will want to create and be better than us. It kind of showcases to kids that yes, vehicles are required in the world. And for myself in the automotive industry, it's great. It showed my kids all these great things. And my daughter really got into it at a young age. And we bought her all the toys, but we bought her a few of the toys. She got them for Christmases and birthdays. She got them from friends. We found them at thrift stores and all that. And she loved them and she loved playing with them. My son kind of got into it too, but he was more into Thomas before had when he was younger. And this kind of brought her into the transportation world. Now, with a father in the transportation world, it's kind of part of your world. Now, growing up at, let's say, other places within my family umbrella, she might not be exposed to enough of it. But living in those households and watching shows like this, she would still be into it. And she would still see the fun in saving the day. Even though it's funny when Marshall falls down his ladder, it's not funny in the real world because that could hurt. Some people might say it could kill you and severely injure you, but it all depends on how you fall. For him, it's funny. He always trips and falls, and he always causes a mess, but the mess is always fixed up, and he's always there to save the day. He can put out the fire, and he can help rescue people. Whether you got a big cut and you need a band-aid, Chase is there, and he's there for some comedic relief, something that we all need. But his vehicle transforms between two options. Like I said, a fire truck and an ambulance. Skye can be an airplane or a helicopter. She even has a hook on her helicopter to do lifts of people when they're stuck on mountain ranges. Everybody has a part in this huge transportation bubble. And Paw Patrol isn't just a show about pups saving the day. It's a show that gives us insights into the transportation infrastructure that is required in our everyday lives. If you're a parent listening to this with your kids, you probably notice after they've watched the show and they now have a favorite, you can now drive by a vehicle similar to your child's favorite without them pointing it out to you or even wanting to become them. How many of you out there listening, your child's favorite character is Rusty in his garbage truck. And when they grow up, they want to either drive the garbage truck or a recycle truck. And if somebody throws out something that they could reuse and save for tomorrow for somebody else to use, they're going to save it. And they're going to buy this big piece of property and save all of these great things because we're not going to throw them out. We're going to reuse them. We're going to help save the planet and recycle these products. And when we can't recycle them, our garbage truck can take care of it. Or for all those kids out there that grew up loving rubble and now are all encased in the new rubble show. I just myself found out about his dedicated show not too long ago, and I watched an episode. Now, a lot of these things in the episode were very questionable about them building a bridge for a beaver that was going from the bush to a stream to build a dam. And he kept crossing the road. Well, they got to get somebody to block the road, and they're constantly blocking the road in front of the cars just to let this beaver go by. We get it. There's an emergency factor in there. We want to save the beaver's life. But then by the end of it, they wind up building this bridge. As a parent, you're watching this going, well, you can't shut down a road for that long. Eventually, somebody's going to get mad and just run over the beaver, right? Not a nice thing to do, but somebody is going to be pushed to that point and do that. Well, then they want to build a bridge. Well, you can't just show up with all this material to build a bridge. You haven't done the proper amount of engineering to find out if that's the actual bridge that you can utilize in that situation. Now, and what type of road is this bridge on? I see after they build it, only like cars, trucks, and SUVs can go underneath it. What if you have a massive load that comes through the area? Big transports. Is the bridge tall enough? Is it engineered to sustain the load? Because after they build the bridge, they realize the beaver won't go across it unless they make it more like the world around it. Like in my home country, Canada, I actually live down the road from Ontario's only existing Animal Crossing bridge. And when you drive past it, you see the pictures of the animals on the side of it, and it's kind of blasted and put into the rock face at the edge of a mountain. So they literally blasted further down into the rock to put the road so that then the animals come up to the edge of it with the fences that kind of push them into this area. And the bridge is covered in grass and rocks and trees, similar to that of what Rubble and all of his friends and family built for this beaver. But to build that bridge, there's a whole heck of a lot of engineering, planning, you got to get permits, all of these things. This isn't showcased in the show, but there is a problem. The beaver needs to get across the road without getting hurt. Now, if this was a regular Paw Patrol show, Chase would be there with his emergency response vehicle, ensuring that every time the beaver goes across the road, nobody is moving out. Marshall can set up barriers. Skye can help bring in products like the steel beams for the bridge. Rubble will build it. Rusty will put it together. They all work together for the common solution. So it's showcasing to our children how working together, even with people you believe aren't part of the same workspace, can work together for the better common good. We can help to maintain our transportation network together as a whole. And it shows how so many jobs fit in with each other. If you're moving a wide load on a highway, you need emergency help to bring it in, to stop traffic. When you go to a fire, there's a fire truck and you need to get people to the hospital. But if there's a problem with the building after it's caught on fire, you can bring in the construction crews to stabilize it. There are so many jobs and so many emergency vehicles that all work together. The Paw Patrol shows that to all of us. It's not just some goofy show about a genius child who could build all these amazing things and his talking dogs. No, it's a show that shows us how every piece of the transportation network fit together. And one of my favorite episodes at the very beginning is when they decide to do a race through Adventure Bay. It brings one of my most favorite things, racing, into the picture and shows how Chase makes it safe, how Marshall is required to keep people safe. Rusty and Rubble help build the situation. Zuma stays down by the ocean because part of it comes down that way to ensure that nobody gets hurt that way. Skye is on call to ensure that everything runs smoothly and she can also be utilized for camera situations. Everybody is part of the solution. Paw Patrol, like I said, isn't just a show about Ryder and his pups. They save the day at Adventure Bay, and even to this day, I still don't understand why they have this massive suspension bridge going across a bay that doesn't even require it, besides for cosmetic purposes. But I would assume that Adventure Bay being that close to the mountains with that would be a smaller scale of the city of Vancouver, where the Paw Patrol is on the north side of the town, and Adventure Bay is on the other side of Stanley Park. In the show, the suspension bridge doesn't make sense. It's just there for an entertainment factor. Everybody plays a part in the Paw Patrol show. From the delivery man to the mayor, they all play a part. And like I said, showcasing to us the racing, bringing that into it, even showcases another part of it. For myself, it's my favorite episode. Similar to that of when I was younger watching the show Reboot, and the one where they actually get brought into the video game with the Formula One racetrack. That's my favorite episode of Reboot, but that's I'm a dedicated car person and I love racing. So for myself, my son really got into it when he watched that episode too. One of his favorite episodes of Paw Patrol was that one as well. So it brings out so much more in a lot of us and showcases so much of the transportation world to all of us. It's not just Ryder and his pups, it's Ryder and the transportation infrastructure required to keep our economy running. Paw Patrol is more than just the pups. Its focus is more on the vehicles that the pups use to save the day. And if you ever sit down and watch the show, even if you don't have kids, sit down and watch it. The entertainment factor and your amazement will increase the second they get inside their vehicles and go somewhere. When they slide down the tower and wind up in their emergency response vehicles. That is the one part of that entire show that will keep you more interested than anything else. And that's not just coming from an automotive person. That's coming from everybody I've ever talked to who's had to sit down and watch the show with their kids. They get bored at the beginning, but the second they slide down and wind up in those vehicles and you hear the big burly diesel engine operate and you get to see all the cool things they're going to do with these amazing transformational vehicles that we still don't understand how they properly operate, your entertainment factor gets kicked up one notch. You take an interest in the show, and it doesn't matter if you like vehicles or not. You will still find it entertaining, and you will still form one part of interest in this amazing little show about a boy and his pups, Paw Patrol. It's not just a kid's show with dogs. It's an automotive show for future inventors. So if you like this podcast, please like, share, or comment about it on any of the major social feeds or streaming sites that you've found this podcast on, from iTunes to Spotify to Facebook and Twitter. You can find the Autolooks podcast and autolooks.net website on any of those major social feeds or streaming sites that you will come to love. And after you've watched this show and you've talked to your kids about all the great things and who's their favorite, click the like button at the bottom and share this episode with all your friends. Tell them that Paw Patrol isn't just about the puppies. It's about the automotive infrastructure that's behind it. It's more about their vehicles than the actual stars of the show. And if you sit there and actually pay attention to it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. You're more amazed by what vehicle they're about to use than about the problem that they are going to solve. All from the Autolooks podcast. And after that, send us a quick comment and tell us who is your favorite Paw Patrol character. For myself, Everett J., it is Rubble, and I've always loved Rubble. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's goofy, you know, he wiggles his bum when he dances, or maybe it's just because he likes, he snowboards. He has that cool factor, you know, kind of along with a little bit of humor. He's cool and humorous, but he always has the right tool to build something. Maybe it's just because I like to build things that I like Rubble. So tell us who your favorite one is. Get your kids to tell us who their favorite Paw Patrol character is. All in the comments section. Do that right after you click the like button to find out more from the Autolux podcast. And after you're done listening to this one, go ahead and listen to some of our other kids-orientated episodes, especially the one about Mario Kart. Learn about the history of the Mario Kart service. All from the Autolux podcast. The Autolux podcast has been brought to you by Ecom Entertainment Group and distributed by Podbeam.com. If you'd like to get in touch with either Everett J., the host of the Autolux podcast, and the owner of the Autolux.net website, please send him an email over at email@Autolux.net. So for myself, Everett J., Autolux.net website, and Autolux podcast, strap yourself in for this one fun wild ride. The rider and the pups are going to take us on.